On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast series brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal. And as we look forward to 2019, we are talking with a number of guests on a number of topics around the insurance industry, particularly insurtech and brand and culture topics. And to help us with an interesting story about a rebrand of an agency is Laura Dealey-Bren, who's president of Dealey Insurance Group out on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, specifically Willards, Maryland. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, and for those who want to check out the website, it's DealeyInsurance.com, and Dealey is spelled D-E-E-L-E-Y, Dealey. That's sounds like a family name, Laura.
It is. It is. So I'm second generation. My father was the first Dealey.
Okay. So how did you, that may be why, like many independent agents, how you got into the business a little bit, but maybe you could, I know it's a fascinating story from what I know about your firm and more recently the renaissance you guys went through and how thoughtful it was. And we're going to talk about that for sure because it's very instructive for other agency owners. But first, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your background and where you came from and how you got involved in this business and why maybe you're involved in the business?
Absolutely. So, again, as we've established, second generation, I don't think many of us grow up yearning with a desire to become an insurance agent. I think my father had a very entrepreneurial style and was involved in a lot of different exciting programs and product development. So I always kind of got to hear insurance at the table or different projects or clients that he was working on, but didn't really have a deep love and affection for it in the early days. My dad had a clever kind of technique on how he introduced me to the business. When I was in college, he actually hired me to do executive summaries for leadership and management books and sales management books. I don't know if he actually ever read any of the executive summaries that I wrote for $25 a pop, but it was a way for him to kind of softly introduce me to business and sales and different concepts. And that was kind of how it was the soft sell going in.
That's very clever. Well, good on him and good on you because it sounds like you were intrigued by this. I know it must be difficult sometimes to work with your dad and, you know, there's a lot of business issues and challenges that agency owners face, let alone the family side, which is a whole nother dynamic.
One of the things that was interesting for my dad and I in our business relationship is that we've never actually worked together on the day-to-day organization. There was a gentleman that ran the firm before. So my father's real involved from a financial leadership and a high-level leadership standpoint. But on the day-to-day, it was sort of unique that we didn't have those interactions.
Okay. Before we talk about, again, the renaissance you went through with your firm, tell us generally about the company and the folks that work there and the people who you serve.
Sure. So we are, again, an independent insurance agency. We're located in a pretty rural town, so Ocean City, Maryland. We go from having, you know, several thousand people to being the second largest city in the state of Maryland. It's a resort population that peaks up to 300,000 people for about 12 weeks. So we have a lot of seasonality and hustle in our business. When you think of the clients that we serve, we have about 4,000 commercial customers and about 11,000 personal lines clients. So we have a pretty significant personal lines book. And then we also have about 200 employee benefits firms. And when you think of the kinds of customers that we have and the employers they make up, they're small to mid-sized businesses. A lot of Main Street community associations is something we write a ton of. Transportation is another specialty. Because of our location, we have an expertise in coastal property. One of the programs my father had put together back in the late 80s was a Lloyd's cover holder program. So we're one of the few direct retailers that actually has our own relationships in the London marketplace. And then within a footprint, I would say Maryland and Delaware is our core. But obviously, as our clients have grown, we've kind of followed them. So we operate in about 30 states.
Well, I know I've done a lot of reading and writing myself about brand and culture, and they're both very intertwined in the strongest brands. The people that work at a firm, in this case the agency, are going to be speaking the same language as the customers would be if you did all the research right, which it sure sounds like you did. So talk a little bit about the journey you went through, starting from the inside out, because I know you have an interesting mix of talent in the agency, and for example, the producer mix is, I think, is pretty interesting, and also how you started to take a look at where you wanted to go in the future.
Yeah, so I think if you kind of looked at everyone has a culture, whether you're intentional about it or not, right? So we certainly had a culture that had developed over the years, and if you went back and looked at who we were, we kind of had that classic independent agent. Every time we acquired a new entity, the person's name was retained. So we had become this kind of mouthful of last names that really didn't capture, A, what we did, or leave any kind of impact as to, it would be difficult when someone would cold call a firm and say, hi, this is Laura Bren calling from Atlantic Smith Cropper and Dealey. It was just kind of a challenge and a mouthful. So we knew that we had to kind of work on the outside and get the outside messaging right. But I also wanted to make sure that as a firm that we really had the internal culture aligned and was really tight and clean. So although I kind of knew we had this challenge of the external branding and how we were going to show up in the market, we wanted to make sure that we were really clear on who we were as an organization. And one of the programs that I had worked with, I'm not actually sure which consulting group it may have been, but we did an exercise that was called Mountains and Valleys, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. Are you, Peter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just in case any of the listeners aren't familiar with Mountains and Valleys, it's the concept where you look at your kind of life story and you kind of highlight the high points and the low points, and you kind of chart that along a timeline, and you start to identify different themes that exist within those stories. And so as a leadership team, we worked through that project. And I think one of the things that's really that we're really blessed and fortunate to have is that the people that are on this team, they're also open and they're candid and they just put it all out there. So that when we sat in a room and went through that exercise, we had some really impactful, powerful themes that came out. And when we started to think about who we were as leaders and our mountains and valley stories and the themes that were coming through that would also trickle down into the qualities that we would want to find within our own talent and the people. So in helping us identify, did the existing people align with those? And if so, that's great. And if not, perhaps this may not be the place for them to be from a long-term standpoint. And then also when we were recruiting and looking for other people, getting really clear on what those core values were was going to be something that was really important. So it was out of that exercise and that that project, we were able to identify what our core values were as an organization. And so then once we got concise on that and put some education around it and celebrated that and got really clear for everyone on that standpoint, then it kind of helped us shift that focus on the external side. So I think that's a really critical step, is it's one thing to just kind of put a label on who you think you are, but you really have to kind of do that, you know, soul searching, deep work to make sure that, you know, who you want to be is who you actually are, because if not, it'll just come across as being inauthentic.
Yeah, was that challenging for you as the daughter of the owner? I know you said you didn't work together, but how did you get your arms around that, Laura? Because I know it's very challenging for younger owners to come in and have that kind of impact. It sounds like you put your arms around everybody, or everybody put their arms around each other, I should say, and the ones who fell out, and the ones who stayed in were in. But how was that for you? How did it feel to do that, and did you feel that you, I don't want to say won them over, but what do you feel was the difference maker there?
So, of course, I'm giving you kind of the pinnacle of 17 years of effort. So It wasn't that we marched in and said, okay, folks, this is what we're going to do today. And everyone said, heck yeah, and we rolled with it. I think that probably the first, if you take one step back, at the time I assumed responsibility for the leadership of the agency, whether it was a good decision or not at the time, I was 27 years old. I had about 3 years, maybe 4 years of experience in the insurance industry or in any professional career. Frankly, I was a girl and I was the daughter of the owner. So I kind of had this trifecta of nepotism and lack of experience. It was just, I believe, a challenge for anyone to embrace kind of coming in. But it forced you to have some humility because you didn't know anything. So when you're coming into an environment like that, you have to watch and listen and ask a lot of questions and start to kind of figure out the path you want to go down, recognizing that oftentimes it's probably not the same path that you're currently on. So in the early days, I would say I probably tried to control the direction more. And then as I evolved through the process and as I grew as a leader, I'd like to hope that I was able to engage the people around me more. And so that helped a great deal with buy-in.
Interesting. The succession planning that you went through is a struggle a lot of agency owners have. It sounds like you've been given this, you know, this whole thing some thought. Obviously, your dad had too. But can you give us a thumbnail of what that program looks like for your firm going forward?
So I think it's an evolution. I think this was probably the first big step. I just joined my father as a partner in 2006. So that's a relatively new, the ownership piece has been a new transition for our family. And we are in the process, you know, as soon as you get one phase of any type of planning finished, you need to be embarking on the next journey as to what the next step is. And build the bench behind us. So I think that's something that's important for us to continue to work on.
Okay. How many folks do you have working at the agency?
We have 65 people.
Okay. And the management team is, how many are on the management team roughly?
So we have 4 executive leaders. So I have Beth Bell's our CFO and VP of Operations. Cindy Hall is our Vice President of Sales, and Chris Carroll is our Vice President of the Life and Health Department. So that crew serves as our executive leadership team and kind of helps with the 10,000-foot view of the organization. And then we have a real solid leadership team that consists of a personal lines leader, Carrie Runkles, commercial lines leader, Michelle Hoffman, and our accounting and support team has been great. We've got Kathy Mason in our accounting team, and we've added Jill Gormley as our human resources director. So we elevated the human resources position just last year.
Okay. So what is the brand messaging you're putting out there now on the website? I'm on the site right now, dailyinsurance.com. Can you talk a little bit about what your messaging strategy is?
Yeah. So I think again, when we talked about finding out who we were ourselves internally, it was really clear that our external message didn't match the internal vibe and way in which we were going to market. And so when we think about the thing that really differentiates us and makes us stand out, and again, these weren't just things that we thought about when we hired the firm, Design Room, who's based out of Cleveland, they really went through a formalized process of internal and external interviews with clients, folks that we work with, and our internal staff, so vendors, industry partners, carrier partners, et cetera, to ask, how do these people show up? Why do you buy from them? Why do you work with them? What makes them different? And the thing that really stood out for our group was that we were forward-thinking and positive in every interaction. So we were always trying to look with an eye towards the future, and we had this kind of energy that was important and that you could actually feel it coming through. And when you think about that real forward-thinking piece, we had to have that deep industry knowledge and experience, or else it wasn't going to make any sense. We had to have the knowledge base first. When we were working with clients, what differentiated us was that we actively had a helping spirit. So there was a level of care and consultation that came through in all the interactions, and that there was this general tone of positivity. And it wasn't positivity for the sake of being, you know, cheesy or happy or, you know, just putting some sort of aesthetic on the outside. It was a positivity that was driven by confidence, and that when we said we were going to do something, we were going to do it. And if we were going to give you advice and lay out a plan, that we were confident and had the experience to guide you in the right way.
Okay. So how is it resonating with your target audience?
Well, so we've been involved in the process now for about 5 months. So we're 5 months in to the other side of the rebranding, the big reveal. And it's certainly created in our market a awareness of, one, who we were and what we did. So I think, again, when you go back at the old name and brand, Atlantic Smith Cropper & Daily, we could have been a law firm, it could have been a real estate office, it could have been any of these things. And now we have this Daily Insurance Group, and it's very concise, and Daily's in the name. And even just the imagery is cleaner and more precise. And so people noticed it, and we hired an intern in a college intern who just rocked our social media and really helped us stay in front of everyone in the community. And so we were able to continually reinforce the message. And we've identified lots of different ways to serve in the community, and we're just kind of like everywhere you go. Like, our local town had Berlin bathtub races, and you make bathtubs and you race them down the street for a nonprofit. And so as we're, you know, the whole town's all assembled and they're screaming, Daily wins again. And we're all like, yes. And we're there in our green shirts and our Daily branded stuff. And they're racing down Main Street in the town. So I think that's one of the things about the energy, is that not only do we show up when we're serving our clients and handling their insurance needs, but we show up in our community. So whether it's serving the homeless with a local shelter on a Thursday night, or if it's helping to set up for a Surfers Healing benefit in town with children with autism, our people are passionate about helping people in other spaces as well. And so that's helped reinforce the brand now, because when we go in a little army with our Daily Serves shirts on. So,
yeah, it's very cool. So do you, in your decade or so experience in this role, do you find that there were some things you might have done differently, and then you could share with folks out there who are going to follow a similar path?
Yeah. So there's all kinds of little practical things along the way that are far too many to mention. But if I think probably one of the biggest challenges or things that I wish I had known or had done differently was, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs will struggle with this as well, is giving up control doesn't mean that you give up control of the vision and the direction. You're giving up control of the execution of the day-to-day pieces of it. So I think when you come out of a space where so much of the responsibility lies on you, when you don't have the other people that are around you and you don't empower them to step up, you hinder yourself and you also hinder the progress of the people around you. And when you have the right team of people in place and you have a clear vision, your role goes from being all things to all people to simply being the person that sets the vision, puts the guardrails on either side, and helps kind of refine the process and is there to help work through issues as they arise, as opposed to being responsible for every single piece that rolls. So as a young leader, I think I felt that responsibility to kind of hold everything. But as I matured and evolved in that position, I was able to let things go. And it might not be the way you would have done it, but that's part of delegation. You know, and as long as it's aligning with the vision and the path that we've all set, there are other ways to execute something and other ways to handle a situation, and your way might not always be the best.
Yeah, it's so true. I think one of the hardest things for business owners is to small business owners, I should say, particularly, are the idea that I've been doing this for 30, 40, 50 years, and I have all the answers, and it's very hard. And that also plays into some, not just branding issues, but hiring and succession planning, and a lot of things that are very, very important but don't seem to be very urgent are things that come back to bite them because they haven't given this this careful thought, as you appear to have done, Laura. So it's good stuff. You kind of fell into the industry, or were kind of softly, as you said, guided into it. Now that you have a few years' experience under your belt, what do you think about the industry? I mean, where do you think it's headed, and what's your vision in general for the independent agent channels? You look forward.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't. When you really realize what we do as an industry, and what we do every day and how much it matters, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else except maybe selling like succulent arrangements on a beach in Costa Rica. But outside of that, the insurance industry is hands down, it just touches so many different facets of the financial sector, right? So we get to see so many different pieces. And we get to participate in some really cool things. So whether it's on the personal line side, you know, someone, their best moments in life, they're buying a house, their kids get it going to college, they've had a new baby, or some of the toughest moments in life when they've suffered a total loss or someone in their family has passed away. We get to sit there front and center and participate in all of those things. Same thing on the business side. Like, we get to sit with clients as they start a business, grow a business, expand to a new state, and sit at the table as a trusted advisor. So it's such a cool industry, and I think that it's been exciting to enter. When you think about the number of people in our firm, when you look at the numbers, we've done a fairly good job of attracting millennials. I like to laugh. I'm a millennial by 1 year. I'm 77, so 1977, I'm the oldest millennial in the room. But I still like to put myself in that category. I think we've done a good job of attracting that next generation. And when you start to tell them what we do in a different way, it's not just proposals and numbers and contracts, but when you start to share that side of insurance, I think they see the joy in it and the problem-solving side of it. No one's going to be a super insurance geek I probably am, and a handful of others are that are listening, but when you start to recognize how we all work together as a team and what our industry really does, I think the future is really bright for our industry.
Well, very nice, Laura. I congratulate you on your success so far and taking those careful steps to go through that cultural exploration and the branding, the messaging, which is the finishing touches on that internal piece. And now it's on your website. I mean, it was really well done, very thoughtful. And one of the things that I find is when agents take the time to do what you did, the end result is so much more meaningful, long-lasting, and resonates with people, where otherwise it's just hiring a consultant to put, pretty pictures and pretty colors on a website and redoing a logo real quick. It just doesn't feel like it's going to be long-lasting. So taking that time, and that's why I wanted to chat with you, because it's rare in my experience to run into somebody who has done this sort of project or projects in this way. So congratulations again.
Thank you.
And so we know where to find you, DeeleyInsurance.com. Again, DeeleyInsurance.com. Laura, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.